that my wonders may be multiplied in Egypt. And then one of the hardest verses perhaps in the whole Bible. Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go out of his country. It's difficult for us to understand some of those passages, but there's a more general point to be made first. A lot of the history that is told in the Old Testament through books like Exodus, 1 and 2 Kings, Chronicles, we find difficult at times to relate to because it portrays a history in which God is intervening in world events, where he is orchestrating and directing why things happen and the fact that they do. He permits things to happen. And this passage, Exodus chapter 11, is a paradigm example of that, one of the most famous examples of how God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, and how he did so by making people act in certain ways, Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And it's easy to dismiss that either as a rewriting of history from the point of view of the children of Israel, where they feature rather better than other people, and also easy to dismiss it as completely irrelevant to our world, because I think it's probably fair to say that we live in a time of some unease at the moment. Whichever crisis you pick, whether it's the refugees, the Middle East, it's difficult to choose who is potentially a more dangerous character on the world stage, President Putin or President Donald Trump. Whatever your views about all those things, there's no doubt that we live in a time of some uncertainty. And it is also no doubt that it's difficult to pick out God's direct intervention in our world in 2017 at the moment in those world events. But just coming back to the passage for a moment, whether or not it's hard to relate to this passage in Exodus 11 depends, I suggest to you, to some extent, on where you focus. Because if you focus on the muscular intervention of God, Moses, it's not even really a question of faith here. Moses was being directly spoken to by God. So when he was doing the things he was doing at God's behest, that was because he had spoken directly to God. So easy to see that as something which doesn't happen to us. Now back to the vignettes about life in 1717. Exodus chapter 12 tells us something interesting. The children of Israel were in slavery in Egypt for 430 years. And just as we've looked back to life in 1717, 300 years ago, and how different that was, and just to illustrate really the passage of time that that really represents. 300 years, let's pick. So somewhere through the 430 years. Picture this scene, 300 years before Moses. Thousands of Jews working in forced labor, slaves to the Israelites. Quarrying, backbreaking work involved in vast construction projects in the desert. Many, many of them dying in the process, no doubt. It's not difficult when you picture that scene to think of more recent events. Not very far from here, a few hundred miles about 70 years ago. Thousands, tens of thousands of Jews in forced labour and worse. But you see, those people, 300 years before Pharaoh, those Jews who were in slavery in those conditions, that they found it difficult, I'm sure, to hang on to the promises that there would be deliverance. They probably didn't even know anything about Moses. And he wasn't going to arrive for many years after they had died, 300 years later. Difficult for them to feel, as Tony Blair might put it, the hand of history on their shoulder. They lived and died in servitude. It can be difficult, therefore, to hold on to God's promises. And it depends on your focus in this passage as to whether I suggest to you you're looking at those important world events when Moses was alive or the time before. We're more perhaps akin to the time before than we are to the seminal events in Moses. And I suggest to you, it's only a suggestion, but that in fact, if you read the Old Testament and think about it carefully, it isn't a history of God constantly intervening, forgive me, in world events. From time to time, he does so. But for many of the people who lived in the period that is described, there was no divine intervention in that sense in world events. And just as world events can challenge our faith, so personal experiences can chip away at it as well. There are many examples of that for us, from losing your job to ill health. And I just pick out one this morning, which is bereavement. I've had occasion to think about that recently. My father is a funeral director, but that doesn't really qualify me, I think, to say anything more on the topic than anyone else. So rather than try and expound to you about bereavement, I'm just going to read you a short poem. I, last summer on holiday, was reading a little bit about Harold Wilson, the former British Prime Minister. It's fair to say there's no accounting for some people's holiday reading tastes. And you may recall that he died after a long illness in 1995. He was buried in a small churchyard on the Isles of Scilly. And after his passing, his wife wrote these words about him. "My love, you have stumbled slowly on the quiet way to death, and you lie where the wind blows strongly with the salty spray on its breath. For this, men of the island bore you down paths where the branches meet, and the only sounds were the crunching grind of the gravel beneath their feet, and the sighing slide of the ebbing tide on the beach where the breakers meet." It can be difficult to hold on to your faith, but that is the essence, isn't it, of our Christianity, holding on to God's promises, keeping the faith with him. And the reason I mentioned to you about bereavement is not to be maudlin or mawkish, but because I wanted to finish with promises that God has made. And one of those promises, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. "So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." And one of the interesting things about the New Testament, forgive me, is if you pay attention to it, there are literally hundreds of quotations within it from the past. And the vast majority of those quotations come from the original Jewish scriptures, from the Old Testament. So whereas it's easy for us, and perhaps we relate more readily to the Gospels, to some extent to Paul's writings, and we can derive much readily from some of the Old Testament writings, such as the Psalms, we find some of the history difficult. But you see how that link that's there, 1 Corinthians 15, then shall it be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 5. He will swallow up death in victory. And the promise that we hold on to, if we're more like the Jews in slavery 300 years before Moses, than at the point in time when there is a new heaven and a new earth. The promise that we have and the faith that we keep is in relation to what is to come at the end. And those famous words in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 to 6. It's a prophetic vision, not a television documentary, but it shows us a little of what is to come when God's purposes are finally worked out. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And that is the promise that ultimately we have in Christ. Let us pray. Father, help us in the course of our lives, through the good times and the bad, through the easy things and the difficult things, to hold on to our faith and to hold on to your promise that the salvation that you have given us through your Son will lead ultimately to a lifetime of existence with you in heaven, in the new heaven and the new earth. Amen.